This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Buzz! 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 Buzz!
Welcome into a low-key Saturday at the buzzer, a little relaxed Saturday, one that we did not expect to be that relaxed. Once again, I'm co-host Jack for Ralphie Report, your source for all Colorado Buffalo news and notes. Our other co-host over there, Sam.
I thought you were gonna exclude me from this.
Why?
It sounded like you were heading straight into intro without introducing me, but I appreciate you introducing me regardless.
Well, you're needed for this introduction. And I'll keep going. It was a little more low-key on Saturday. I was watching Illinois beat Nebraska, which is wonderful.
Fantastic. I saw that fake punt.
Yeah, where the guy really, really wanted to punt the ball, but Nebraska kept giving him yards, so he just kept running for a first down.
Yeah, that was great. Incredible. Every team should do that.
Every team should be playing against Nebraska every week, and then they could do that. I agree.
The new Rutgers of the Big Ten. Congrats.
Hey, they're red, and they have one big letter as a logo.
Oh, man. Okay, so yes.
Well, and I was just like, I basically just got stir crazy, and I figured, you know what? In a perfect world, I'd be going up to Boulder anyways today. So I took my buddy who splits the season tickets with me, and I went up to Boulder. And we did not visit Sam, unfortunately, but it was nice to pretend there was a game day, even for a little bit. We stopped by to get some food, enjoyed some pretty nice weather. And by the time I came back, Nebraska had lost to Illinois at home. So it was really a pretty good low-key day, but I really wish he was playing Arizona State.
You're burying the lead. Where did you eat on your one visit to Boulder every month?
I always go to Yellow Belly. I love Yellow Belly. I understand it has mixed reviews. No. They were the source of one of the larger Boulder outbreaks way back when.
Fantastic. But
that was before students came in. Now they are like 20th.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, it was nice to get a semblance of normalcy, but I really wish there was real normalcy and CU played this week, but unfortunately Arizona State couldn't get it together. So here we are.
So I tend to enjoy when CU is not losing. And an absence of football is okay for me if they're not losing. It feels great that we're 2-0 and that I know the momentum could have continued because Arizona State's not that good. But I'm like, I'm just a little relieved that I wasn't stressed out today because I get really stressed when CU plays and I expect them to win.
Well, here's what I'm so annoyed about. Everything else has broken CU's ways today. UCLA looked super good against an Oregon team that could not handle their offense, which makes me feel better about our defense.
It was 38-35. Oregon barely won.
And that was just because of some terrible drops in the last some rough throws and some terrible drops in the last drive near the end. And this is without Dorian Thompson-Robinson. That offense is good.
What? He wasn't playing?
No, he was held out because of COVID protocol.
Yeah, see, this is what happens when I work all day on Saturdays.
Right. Yeah. Well, you miss some stuff like that. But UCLA looks solid, which makes CU obviously by extension look solid. USC's about to tip off against Utah. We'll see how that looks. But Arizona is getting taken to the woodshed and beat by Washington right now. It's 37-0 as we speak. They took USC down to the wire, which makes USC look a little less scary and makes Arizona look as bad as I thought they would be. Basically, everyone else in this division looks less scary to me today. It would have been really nice to confirm a bowl win, to confirm a bowl game, I should say, get Arizona State in a rearview mirror and be 3-0. But alas, didn't happen. And who knows? Arizona State might have won.
Yeah, I think the odds would have favored Arizona State. But, I mean, I'm just happy that I'm not stressed today.
Yeah, it's a pretty stressless day. Like we already said, Nebraska lost, Arizona's losing, UCLA lost, which means the Pac-12 South is two-horse race at this point, with the two horses being USC and Colorado, like we all predicted, right?
Is Arizona State not in the race at all? I know they already lost to USC, but...
Well, they lost, and then they lost a game this week, so it's harder for them to catch up.
Didn't they lose the game before, too? Were they supposed to play Utah?
They might have. They might be. Yeah, they might be 0-1.
I think they are 0-1. Yeah.
That's brutal. Damn.
Yeah. So two horse race. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, so that's what we should have been happening today. It should have been a one horse race, but unfortunately not. And we're here talking about the other revenue sport that is apparently starting this week. Snuck up on me.
Snuck up on me. I don't have any previews written.
I don't think anyone does, dude. No one's talking about college basketball.
I spent all last week studying for the NBA draft, and that's like literally it.
Right.
That's all the sports content I was doing.
As I said, we are unique in a college sports blog in that we have one of the main writers is actively looks at players more when they leave college. So, you know, whatever. It's perspective. Well, we're just getting all sides.
I want to emphasize that ever since I was a kid, I've been obsessed with like the whole concept of a draft. And I just really like studying drafts and like football and basketball and baseball. So it's just a little hobby. It's fun.
Well, you know, that little hobby, I guess, I think it's fun. It's also, I don't know, it's gigantic. We can congratulate Tyler Bay on getting the money he deserves. Well, maybe a little less than he deserves, in my opinion, but still a pretty good spot for him to land.
Yeah, even if he fell to the second round, going to the Mavericks is so perfect for him. Like, I don't know if I could have thought of a better team for him to go to. Like, they have such a high track record of developing athletic 3-and-D forwards, and he's going to be an offense where he doesn't actually have to do much with Luka Doncic throwing him passes. That sounds like a great place for him to develop, especially if Dwight Powell's going to be out for a while and they need someone to step into that type of role, like the rim running forward.
Yeah, there's not many coaches in the NBA better at homegrown development than Rick Carlisle, I think, at least. Not that I'm a huge NBA guy, but Rick Carlisle knows how to get his personnel in positions to win. Like you said, the Sean Marion blueprint is in place. But as the game has changed, frankly, a little bit of Tyson Chandler, I think, from the 2011 Mavs is there. I think Tyler's big enough for the small league now where he can act as a semi-rim protector.
I don't think Tyson Chandler, but Dwight Powell he can be a Dwight Powell type.
I mean, that's a little shooting for not that high, right?
What? Nothing's wrong with Dwight Powell. He's a good starting forward.
Okay.
If Tyler Bay becomes Tyler Powell, I'll be very happy. You don't have to say he's going to be Sean Marion, who's a borderline Hall of Famer.
Yeah, what's that thing? You just have to get to your second contract, right?
Yeah.
That's where the money's made.
That's where all the CU players who've made it to the NBA since Tad Boyle, only George King didn't make it to a second contract.
And Iskia Booker.
He didn't make it to the NBA, but yeah.
Okay, well, G League, whatever.
He didn't make it to the NBA. George King played for the Celtics. Iskia Booker did not.
Fine. I'll take it. Everyone else has done well for themselves. Alec Burks just got another $6 million.
Yeah, going to the Knicks. Go get some buckets, Alec Burks.
Yeah, play under those lights. I don't know. Congrats to Tampa Bay, picked 36th by the Dallas Mavericks. That's in the second round. I was hoping Denver would take him, but I guess not. They decided to take a worse Pac-12 big who happens to be 3 years younger, because that's what the NBA does.
Very annoying. I like Zeke Nagy on the Nuggets.
Yeah, but Zeke Nagy is terrifying. He gets every single rebound, but he is a worse player.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a good segue. We're going to go from professional basketball, which sucks and is stupid, into college basketball, which sucks and is awesome. So let's talk a little bit about the CU basketball preview. So we are about 4 days away from the first game. Sam and I have talked slightly about this team every now and again over the summer, and as more information has trickled in, we've decided, you know, we've continued to update our what this team might look like. But in general, it's pretty similar to what we saw last year, with one notable Tyler Bay-sized hole in the lineup. McKinley Wright is running it back for his senior year and what will be his last year, despite Sam's hopeful ravings, is what I would call it.
Yeah, he's going to come back for a fifth-year starter.
No, he's not. And past that, Evan Batty's coming back for what feels like his eighth year, but I think it's only his third year.
Okay, he will take his fifth year, though. He's going to be here for 6 years.
And I'm fine with that. I would love him to be here for 8 years.
Dallas Walton's going to be here for 7 years.
Dallas Walton is back. Deshaun Schwartz is back as a senior. And who am I missing? Eli Parquet, we only saw 1 year of him.
Yeah, well, yeah, so Parquet is probably a projected starter at shooting guard. So that's going to be Wright, Parquet. Hang on a second. Schwartz. And then we're going to get the forwards, Evan Batty and Jariah Horn. That's probably the starters.
I don't agree that he is projected
starter. Who are you starting over Parquet?
Well, I guess let's get into it. So, you know, the other part of this game, this, you know, you have two parts of this team, right? You have the newcomers and you have the veterans. We just went over the veterans. Let's go over some of the newcomers. As you mentioned, Jariah Horn is a grad transfer. I think the first grad transfer in CU history, or in Tab Oil history, at least.
Is Harlan Brown not a grad transfer?
No, he had to sit 1 year to play 1 year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Horn joins the Buffs from Tulsa, where he averaged, I think, 15-9 as a junior. So, pretty developed offensive player. Will definitely shoot the three ball and is pretty smooth there, but I don't think he has a rebounding prowess that Bay had. You have a bunch of freshmen coming in. We can talk about them one by one. And then you have the other guy's going to get significant minutes as a newcomer, Keyshawn Bartholomew, who redshirted as a freshman last year to put on some weight. And this year, that is who I would slot in at the second guard spot.
Okay, well, I haven't seen Keyshawn since last year during, like, their preseason camp. I don't know if he's gained enough weight. Like, I don't know if he's refined a shot at all. I just know that when he was playing, he is an absurdly athletic guy, and he can get to the rim whenever he wants, but it didn't look like he really knew what he was doing on the court. It looked like he was still a teenager playing against, like, these college guys. So I don't know his development in the past year plus.
All like I know is it. Tad Boyle loves him, and Tad Boyle also loves that he can rely on him to handle the ball, and I think he's going to be used a lot in that context. I think he's going to allow Ken to play off ball, which is really good for conserving energy and letting him score when he needs to score, as opposed to running the offense at all times. I don't know. I think he brings another energy, a dynamic to this team that did not exist prior. He's the fastest dude on the team, which is insane to me. He's going to push it on the break every chance he can, and he can actually run the point, which I guess here's my question to you. When was the last time that CU had two legit point guards that could play together?
You have to go back to Askia Booker and Spencer Dinwiddie, but that's if you count Askia Booker as a point guard.
I don't even know if I would say that. I don't even know if I would call Askia Booker. I guess he kind of ran the offense, but not nearly. And it's not the same.
And well, he ran the offense to go get number zero some points, but that's okay.
Which worked when he was a sixth man, for sure. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Starting, yeah.
I think also starting, you might have to go back to when Alec Burks and Nate Tomlinson were there together, but Nate Tomlinson's not a good enough player to really warrant that.
Okay. He was a good point guard. He was a good floor general, I should say. Not a point guard.
I don't mean like – I don't think he's as dynamic as McKinley. Also, Nate, come on the pod sometime.
Please. Oh, God, that'd be fun. Nate Thompson on the podcast. Nate, we could probably get him. We could get him.
Yeah, we got Jeremy Bloom. We could get Nate.
That's all we have to say. So, I don't know. Keyshawn is the other one. The other main one is going to add some minutes. And then we can talk about the freshman. I really think, like Sam, like you, I think you were intimating, there's one freshman that is deserving of and by virtue of position is going to get a lot of minutes. I don't know about the rest.
And that would be Keyshawn Bartholomew.
Well, no. I'm counting him as a redshirt.
You're talking freshman. Jabari Walker.
I'm thinking of Jabari Walker, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we haven't heard anything from camp because someone doesn't get the Zoom notifications on their email.
John.
But others have reported that Jabari Walker has been fantastic in these practices and that Tad Boyle has been raving about him as the only player he's happy with on the glass, which usually speaks volumes. So,
well, it gets you minutes is what it is, right? Like if you rebound for Tad Boyle, he will absolutely find you space on the court. It doesn't matter if you're terrible at everything else.
Yeah.
If you rebound, he will find you minutes. So if he's good at rebounding, he will see the floor early. He's also really polished offensively. So I think he's going to be a nice add there. I don't know.
And I mean, I can't really say I've seen him much. I feel more comfortable projecting like Nate Clifford and those guys. But yeah, Jabari Walker was a late commit. I haven't really seen him. I don't know what his game is per se. I'm excited. If he can rebound, I'm really excited.
I think, well, he's a little bit of a stretch four, so he can shoot the three really handily. He's more athletic than Lucas Stewart was, so it's not just going to be like a guy that spots up like Lucas was. He also can't shoot it quite like as accurately. He's a little bit better on defense. I don't think he's a great defender yet. And it's nice to hear that he's attacking the glass. Because that's not something I expected from him so early, especially without bulking up. But he's a great – I mean, this whole class is just a crazy good class. Jabari Walker, great add. Nate Clifford, extremely athletic guard that will eventually become a – I don't know. He'll run the offense at some point in his career. Tristan Da Silva is a nice defensive stopper. I think we're not going to see anything of him this year, but – a nice guy to at least toughen up the team.
Good kid.
Yep, good kid, Matt City. And then, I'm blanking Luke on O'Brien. The other. Thank you. I was blanking on the other Colorado kid. I mean, he's a bucket getter. He can score at all three levels. He's a really solid shooter. And he has really good size for what is kind of a point guard role that he played in high school. So
yeah, he's not going to play point forward in college, but that's okay.
No, but he still has really good size for how well he can shoot.
Yeah, and at least like coming from a point guard background, he can like dribble, which is good. Not everybody can dribble that we see.
Well, definitely at CU, not everyone can dribble that is technically a guard. And then you have the last man that we have not talked about, I guess, Jariah Horn. So we're not going to have that.
So the depth chart, I guess, it seems pretty settled that I assume Horn will be starting. So we don't really know who's going to start between Bartholomew and Parquet then. Is that the only question?
Well,
then?
I think that also might flip-flop. I think that might change based off the matchup and based off of what Tad sees in practice.
Because I see – I get that Bartholomew would add another dimension that CU doesn't usually have. I also see that CU always has a guard like Parquet on the floor as a starter, even if he gets subbed off quickly, even if he doesn't lead the team in minutes.
Yeah, the two things I'm worried about, or not worried about, but the two things I'm thinking about is, number one, Parquet. Tad already likes him because of his defensive effort and hustle, and I think that has only increased this offseason. Tad has made dimension multiple times. that how impressed he is with Ilya Parquet's work by himself. And then the other thing is, I mean, Barthelemy is 6'1", maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So having Ken and Barthelemy on at the same time can be a problem size-wise. Barthelemy is long, at least, and he can kind of match up that way on the perimeter, but he's still slight. So Ken and him together might cause problems against some of the bigger teams that CU's going to play in conference.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm going to prefer Parquet for the time being, but that's because we haven't seen anything. Do you like the starting lineup? Do you think it has good balance? Or the team in general, do you think it has good balance?
I think offensively, this team has the potential to be way better than last year's team. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's a gigantic defensive hole in Tyler Bay that I don't know if they can fill. I think Dallas Walton coming back more full strength is going to help the rim protection when he gets on with minutes, but he's not going to start. So you're looking at a more traditional college basketball lineup where the tallest guy is like 6'8", 6'9", and that's going to be Jarrell Horn / Evan Batty, basically Evan Batty.
Yeah, and I don't mind that. As long as Evan Batty can stay out of foul trouble, I don't mind that at all.
Right, and this year we have some guys behind that won't be exactly what he is, but can definitely fill in for some good minutes. There's a good mix back there. I like Dallas Walton as the third big and Jabari Walker as the fourth big. It's just fine.
Yeah, especially
plus, if everyone's getting Tab Oil pissed, you just put in Alexander Strotting.
Exactly. I was thinking like Deshaun Schwartz could probably see some time at the four as well. They're trying to get more guards on.
Sam, we've been saying that for what, 2 years at least, and it just hasn't happened.
I know.
Like, I want happened. That to happen. Really, I think he'd be existence. Super fun. Yeah. He can post up. He has the moves for it. He's big enough for it. He's pretty thick, and he rebounds well for his size.
Say, Deshaun, go get a bucket and see what he does.
Well, I hope he does that a lot this year.
Yeah. I have the schedule pulled up. So they start the season against South Dakota on Wednesday.
Okay.
Then they move on to play Kansas on the road. Kansas State. Sorry. Kansas State.
Both of those
State.
Are part of the same tournament. So that's part yes. of the Little Apple Classic. It's in Manhattan.
Which is in Manhattan, Kansas. So it's a home game for Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they don't have fans. I don't know what Kansas is doing, but I hope they don't have fans there. then they're going to have two Pac-12 games early against Arizona, and that's mm-hmm. in Tucson, and then a home game against Washington State.
But don't they go straight back to non-conference? That's what I'm confused about is why is that sticking, and then they go back to non-conference?
So they're moving to a 20-game conference schedule. And cool. they're going to play 11 teams twice.
Cool.
And then the 12th team they play once, but the other team, like the pairing, so like Washington and Arizona State, the other side of that, they're going to play early in the season, which doesn't make any sense to me. But I think this is going to be a thing now moving forward in the Pac-12.
Here's what I'm confused about. What do you mean by 12th team? Isn't CU the 12th team?
Wait, yeah. That, okay. Sorry for the listeners out there. Yes. I don't know. Because I don't think they're playing Arizona State twice then this season.
No, I don't think so either.
That's what I meant. I didn't mean CU as the 12th team.
Well, yeah, this season's just weird. So if you look at, they're going to play two conference games in the middle of the non-conference season. Washington does not count as a conference game the first time or the Vegas time.
Yeah, that's like an Arizona State in China type of deal.
Yeah.
Neutral Vegas, court China. doesn't count towards standings.
And we don't know it. We have no idea what Washington's going to look like. They have pretty much a brand new team.
Yeah, and they also had like a bunch of 5 stars on the team last year, and they sucked. So there's no telling how good Washington's going to be.
Yeah, didn't they have – what did they have? They had two guys drafted, right, in the first round?
Jaden McDaniels, who sucks, and Isaiah Stewart, who's going to be a baller. Also, they had Quade Green, a former 5-star point guard.
Oh, my God. How is Naz Carter still there?
Oh, he's still there?
I feel like I played against Nath Carter for like, we played against Nath Carter for like 5 years at least.
Imagine how teams are going to be when they see McKinley Wright on the CU again.
Yeah, cutting them up again.
Arizona Cameron State's going to have.
Go ahead.
I'm just imagine Evan Batty on his seventh year on campus.
Yeah, exactly. Still mocking people around. I just looked at Washington's coaching staff. They have the best coaching staff in the Pac-12, bar none.
You know, I don't doubt that, but they also don't have very good players, it feels like. So
that's whatever. About that.
Their rosters have been very unbalanced lately.
So they have Mike Hopkins at head coach. They have Cameron Dollar at assistant coach. Cameron Dollar is probably the best West Coast recruiter for basketball. He is amazing.
So they have a lot of money to toss around?
Well, that always – I mean, at least under Romar, sure. Dave Rice, who was a great coach at UNLV and got fired, is another assistant coach. And Will Conroy, who's a homegrown Husky player who's also a good recruiter. What a staff. Plus Mike Hopkins. Jeez. But, yeah, like you said, they don't really have a lot of great – Jamal Bay is back.
He wasn't very good last year, though.
Well,
like, we don't have to – yeah. Anyways. We don't have to do the Washington schedule or the roster. Okay, but yes, it's weird. So we have South Dakota, should be a win. At Kansas State, I don't know anything about them. I haven't watched a game since Jacob Pullen graduated. Then they play at Arizona, then versus Washington State. And then they have CSU, Northern Colorado, and Omaha all at home. Then they finish with Washington and Grand Canyon in Vegas.
And then it's on to the rest of the 18 other conference games.
Yeah, which we don't actually have the exact schedule yet, which is kind of frustrating.
No, but we have the weekends, do we not? Like the.
I mean, yeah. We can go over it eventually. I'm just looking at their official roster, official schedule, and they don't have it.
Don't worry, I'm pulling it up. Okay, so Kansas State, we can talk about really briefly. They were really good a few years ago when they had Dean Wade, if you remember Dean Wade.
Oh, I remember Dean Wade.
As a senior, and they had another guy, I forgot his name, who was a crazy good outside shot. They're both gone. This is a really, really young team. They have here's the list. I'm just going down the list. Don't know walk on it otherwise. Freshman, sophomore, 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 junior, freshman, sophomore, senior, freshman, sophomore, junior.
It sounds like Utah past couple of years.
Yeah, it's stupid young. So I'm not expecting much from them because they weren't that great last year anyways. So I don't know. I don't think it's like going to be that tough.
And Arizona also has been picked like fifth in the conference. Ahead of CU, though, which is some bullshit, but still.
Right, because not only have they completely turned over their roster, they completely turned over their roster to foreign players that couldn't come into the United States until pretty late into the practice schedule.
Yeah, which would be also – it would have been hilarious if their home countries told them, no, you can't go to the U.S.
All right, I have the schedule if you want to go through it real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I pulled it up, too, on my own article that I compiled.
We have the best reporting here. Click on our links. Okay, so you're right. Over New Year's weekend, we have UCLA and USC on the road. I'm expecting a loss on both of those.
Both of them?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if I don't know what to expect from USC right now. So I just don't know with them.
USC, like, I know they UCLA have, is really good, though. UCLA is really good.
I mean, sure. UCLA, you could put a loss. I'm not going to argue that. But USC, I just don't know. Like, Isaiah Mobley is going to be there.
Yeah.
Or Evan Mobley, whichever one's better. But I just don't know the roster other than that.
Well, they have the Mobley brothers. They had a few players last year that are really solid that aren't Onyeka Okongwu.
I mean, they only bring back one starter.
Boatwright is gone. Anderson. But Ethan Anderson's so good defensively.
I mean, yeah. That's it.
Don't give me that. okay. First weekend, I'm expecting 0-2 start.
Sure. I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay. Oregon State at home. 2-0.
Okay, yeah.
2-0. Has to be.
That's 3-1 total for me.
I guess this might be the year that Oregon streak slips because there's no fans. This might be the year.
Who's on Oregon still? They have Chris Duarte. They have...
Oh, my God. How is he there?
Will Richardson. Infale Dante. I mean, that's already really good.
Yeah, but they have a huge recruiting class coming in. Best in the Pac-12. Okay. I'm expecting 0-2 starts. So 1-4 is where I'm at for CU right
Ooh,
now.
Ooh, Sabrina Ionescu's little or big brother's on the team.
I don't think he's no Sabrina.
No, he's a walk-on, but still he's there. I just wanted to say it.
So I'm at 3-1 right now. I'm at 2-2. You're at 3-1.
Yeah. 3-1, maybe 2-2.
Okay.
That's a tough start.
We stay at home the next weekend. We play Cal and Stanford at home. Sweep.
I don't know what Stanford's gonna do. I don't know.
Stanford has some talent. I'm not scared of that roster. I really am not.
Okay, so Oscar Da Silva's still there. Dejon Davis is somehow still there, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's that good.
I know. They lost Tyrell Terry. They bring in 5-star Ziaire Williams, but we don't actually know how good he is. Mm-hmm. You don't like freshmen, apparently.
I don't think they're good until they show me they're really good. I just don't think they are. And maybe CU fan of me because a lot of CU freshmen always take time to acclimate. But
I agree with that to some extent, unless it's like an Isaiah Stewart who's just going to bully people because he's a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Exactly. But Ziaire Williams is not really that type of player. So I'm fine with that. He's like a KZ Akpala type of guard. Whatever.
God, that guy was good. I don't know. I'm pretty confident in that one. I think we sweep those first four road games. And obviously Cal's roster is – I mean, they're getting better. But Matt Bradley is terrifying. I love him. He's one of my favorite players in the Pac-12, but nothing to be scared of at home, I don't think.
Also, those are home games.
And then on the road, you go to Washington and Washington State. I think you split that trip.
I have no qualms. Washington State's going to suck, but they have a really good recruiting class coming in, so get ready for them to be good in 2 years.
I'm just glad that the doormats are improving in the Pac-12, man. It's more fun when there's not, like, you know, a Kyle or a Ken Bone Washington State out there. Like, Kyle Smith Washington State at least is interesting to watch.
Yeah, no, they're on the up and up. Oregon State's going to be really bad this year.
Really
I know
bad.
They have Kyler Kelly who's going to get, like, 6 blocks a game, but that's it.
We move on to Utah at home.
Got to be a win.
Utah's, once again, terrible.
Yeah, they might be the worst team in the conference.
Timmy Allen is back. Not scared of Timmy Allen.
Never have been.
Who's that coach's kid they have, the tiny kid?
I don't know. The one who looks like a 16-year-old?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know his name, but he's back.
Also not scared of him. And Booth Gotch is gone. He's gone to Minnesota. So the man that killed CU last year is gone.
Mm-hmm.
On to Arizona and Arizona State at home. I think that's a split.
I think it's – I'm not afraid of Arizona State like everybody else in the Pac-12 is apparently. I don't see how that team is any better other than, like, Josh Christopher. See, you swept them. They went 3-0 against them last year.
Yeah, Remy is still as kryptonite as McKinley. I think McKinley does a really good job of slowing down Remy Martin.
Yeah, because he's perfect to guard him. Remy Martin isn't as good as people think he is.
Is it Romello White back, by the way?
No, he transferred to Mississippi.
Oh, thank God.
CBS Sports rated – can you believe this? They rated Remy Martin as the 8th best player in college basketball.
No, that's so stupid. It's because he can hit – he hits stupid, crazy shots, and he has cool hair, and he's flashy. That's literally what it is.
Yeah, that's why you like him. That's why I liked him until he started getting overrated.
I still do like him a lot. He's just not – he's not that good.
I'm not afraid of Arizona State at all.
So you're saying that's
one player? No, I don't know what Arizona's going to be like, so I just can't say.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't know what Josh Christopher is going to look like on Arizona State. I don't know if he's going to be a walking bucket. But the one player who scared me was Romello White, and he's gone. So I'm not worried about CU getting bullied in the paint.
Yeah, it was terrifying last year in person when I went to Arizona State, seeing a man bigger than Evan Batty. I did not think it was possible to see a man who just took up more space relative to his height.
He's so underrated, too.
Yeah, with he's how got much some really hard stuff for them.
I don't see how they replace that, but...
So, I guess I'm looking at 0-2, and then 2-2, and then 4-2.
Just count the wins.
Okay. 5-6, and I'm at 8. 8 conference wins. That's already pretty solid.
Yeah. So, through Arizona's, I'm at... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So I'm at like 9-2.
Yeah, that's a little optimistic, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also the more optimistic. Wait, is that even true?
I think both of us are being a little optimistic here. I'm sure that CU might drop one or two of these, but we don't know.
Man, we were railing on Sabatino when we were doing a preseason preview with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I think it'll be 22 wins. And we were railing on him because we both thought it'd be 25, 26. And then he was right.
I hate when people know more than us, and then they tell us what they know.
Well, he was only right because CU collapsed at the end of the season. So.
Yeah, but he's still right.
We were both right. Okay.
So let's go, on the road now, Bay Area trip, Cal versus Stanford.
Split.
I think it's a split. Cal goes down. We lose to Stanford at home. Then we stay on the road, up the road to Oregon. Oregon State. Split.
We can't lose to Oregon State this year.
So I'm at 10 wins right now.
I'm at 11.
Okay.
10 if I'm being cautious.
And this is before – are we counting the Arizona-Washington State games as a split?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so now I'm at 11 wins.
Okay.
Then we go on to UCLA-USC at home. Oh, geez. I think you really want to sweep that, but I don't think it's possible.
I think it's a split.
Yeah, I think so too. Finally, finish up with Utah on the road.
Yeah, that should be a win.
I think that's a win too.
What's your wins at?
So that would be 13.
You're 13-7?
13-7, which is a great season.
Yeah, I'm 14-6.
That's an amazing – yeah, that's a really good season.
It's with senior McKinley Wright. I hope it. I don't see why CU finished seventh place in the preseason poll. Not that it matters. I just don't get it. You have to think Tyler Bay is the best player in the conference to do that.
Well, yeah, there's a few things working against CU right now. Number one, their recruiting class, while it was good, was not as good as some of the people above CU. And that's going to be a big thing people are looking at. Number two, the biggest star, arguably, on the team left. So that's going to be a big thing that people are looking at.
But if you think he was the most valuable player on the team, I don't really want to hear your opinion.
Right, and he's not. And I think everyone knows that he's not, but it's also – I think they look at this team, Seward left, Bay left, Gatling left. That's three seniors, three starters-ish. People mm-hmm. play stars minutes, and they think, how can they replace that? But we look at the team, and we see Keyshawn is a better Shane Gatling.
He's not a Gatling, but he's a better player.
No, but he's going to fill the role that Gatling was recruited to fill and actually fill it, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like Gatling was supposed to be a secondary ball handler that calmed down the offense and got some buckets and played defense. And
I thought of him more as a secondary ball handler and shooter and like a gunner.
Yeah, and that's true. I think he was definitely, scored points. And I think Keyshawn Barthelemy will be that. I think Gatling was a gunner that was hot and cold and played pretty solid defense. I think Barthelemy will do all three of the things that Tad asked at that position. And then also Jariah Horn. I think he's a better version of what we want Lucas Seward to be.
Yeah. I don't see – if you follow the team closely, no disrespect to Seward, but if you think that that's like a crucial loss for a team, I don't really buy that.
Well, he's a really good player that we all watched grow up. Everyone, anyone who reads something that I said or hears something that I said knows that I goddamn love Lucas Siewert. I thought he was so underrated the past 2 years in terms of hitting big shots. I thought he definitely grew as a defender, but I also think that all of that is entirely replaceable.
Yeah.
So
I think he was a really good player at the end of his career here.
Yeah. He hit what, like 50% of like wide open threes, which is all you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
But Jeriah Horn can do more than that. And if you have a replacement that can do more than the person is replacing, that's a win. The issue we're seeing here is, can CU replace Tyler Bray at all? Is that a thing they want to do or can do? I don't know.
I don't think they can do it. You can't have that type of rangy, disruptive defender who can also rebound like that. But I also think he did a lot of things that he was probably overrated at. Like the team defense thing. Like, CU's defense, like, statistically was better with him off the floor.
Is that true?
It is, yeah. Which is weird. Because he did make a lot of mistakes. He got bullied by bigger players, like, that type of deal. And, like, I know how good he was offensively, but it was frustrating how often he disappeared on offense or how often he just had an awful offensive game.
I mean, his good so outweighed the bad, and he was definitely a really good thing. I know. Yeah, but like you said, I don't think that CU definitely needs to replicate that to have success this year. And I guess let's get into what success looks like. Is this a tournament team? Is the 2020 Colorado Buffaloes, are they a tournament team?
I think that if you take this team from last year – and make the little changes, and you get rid of that five-game collapse, which wasn't them, I think that this is still, like, an 8 seed at worst.
What do you mean it wasn't them?
I know it was them, and I know that part of their issues is the lack of accountability and the lack of an asshole in the locker room who's going to yell at everybody. But I also think that they just learned that lesson and they're not going to do that again. They're not going to quit on a season.
Well, yeah. I mean, when we interviewed Evan Batty, it's pretty much what he said, right? It's basically no one wanted to blame anyone, but now it's McKinley's last ride.
Yeah.
And I don't think he cares about blaming people anymore.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, I think that's also part of why Tad felt more comfortable bringing in a grad transfer. This is a guy who's been successful elsewhere, and I don't think he gives a shit if someone did something wrong, he's going to let them know. Jariah Horn, by all accounts, has been a great leader in the locker room and has stepped up. But I also think his outside perspective allows him to not let past bonds get in the way of getting better. So
yeah, I think that, like, that type of collapse can't happen. I don't think that they're going to have, like, a five-game stretch that bad. I think that this team will be slump-proof in some respect, just because of the lessons they've learned and because of the way they're built. So,
yeah, this team is going to be worse defensively. I think there's nothing to get around that. This team is, I think, going to be a worse defensive team overall.
They're still going to be good on defense. This, like, if they're like the fourth best defense in the Pac-12, that's fine.
I should say part of that is defensive rebounding. I think that's going to be where we're going to feel that the most.
I also want to say that Evan Batty boxing out is going to make everyone a better rebounder.
Well, I mean, him continuing to get really good, him continuing to get better is going to be so fun to watch. So fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And he will, and I hope that other people get to. I mean, the thing that's interesting, and we've seen a little glimpses of it, but I'm really looking at Deshaun Schwartz attacking the glass. I think he's really good at rebounding. He just doesn't do it that often, and I hope that this year gives him the space to really go after it, because we've seen pretty good rebounding games from him before.
I mean, yeah, if he can – I know I'm not gonna do the thing where it's like, if we can see Deshaun take the next step.
How many times have we said that? Yeah.
Too many times.
To be fair, but we did see him take the next step just in some games, not the full season last year.
Yeah, if we can see a more aggressive Deshaun because he has to be – yeah. I think that would be huge. Like, he could be the breakout player of the Pac-12, like, actually.
Yeah, he could be the George King this year. I don't want to put that on him, but, like, that scoring potential is absolutely in him. So, I don't know. It's going to be a fun year. I think they're also a tournament team. I don't think they have the ceiling that last year's team did, but they definitely have a pretty solid roster. They have a good coach. They have a pretty decently easy schedule. They should be able to win most of the conference games and almost all the non-conference games, and that equals a tournament team.
Yeah, I think so too. And even if they lose against, like, say, Arizona on the road in that early part of the season, I don't think they're going to drop another game. And even if they do, I think it's fine. Like, you don't have to be a 4 seed. You could be a 9 seed. It's fine.
Yep. I mean, the leadership on this team is still rock solid. There is no gaps there. It's still McKinley's team. It's still Evan Batty's team. They know what they're doing. Jeriah Horn adds some extra stuff. So I'm not anticipating a collapse in leadership like we saw maybe in the Derek White season or the I guess even the Skia Booker season. I am also I do think this is a setup year as well. I think it's a good send-off, but I think this is a setup year. Because
if you can turn your setup years into tournament appearances, that's when you take the next step.
No one's losing eligibility this year. Like, Jabari Walker could play every game and still be a freshman going into next year. And that's huge. What we're looking at next year is basically a 9-person freshman class, and that's the team. So
this might be the step CU type programs needed to catch up to the one and done programs.
It definitely helps the Iowas of the world, the CUs of the world, those above average middle of the road Power 5 teams that keep guys a little bit longer because they don't declare early. And I don't know. I think this is still going to be a fun team. Offensive, definitely more offensively dominated. We're going to see Ken off ball and looking to score a lot more often, I think. We're going to also see less turnovers from him because of that. And I think he's still going to end up topping the record books in a few areas when it's done. Enjoy the ride. You know, what else are we looking at?
So, do you have any breakout picks? Any players you want to keep an eye on?
You know, I love Eli Parquet. Big fan of Eli Parquet. If he can get a solid outside shot, I'm going to be more than happy with him. He already took some nice steps towards that last year. He's athletic. He can defend. He's huge. I just love the way he can rebound too. That's a good way to stay on the court. Yeah. That's my guy. Eli Parquet is my guy.
He's also my guy. I was going to pick him. Tight. But I'm also a sucker for what Neek Clifford could be.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like Neek Clifford in the small CU media circles. I think his athleticism is really exciting for some people.
He is very smooth. I just like when I was watching his highlights, it just seems like he can just drive and just get to his jumper so quickly.
You know, there's a lot of players that can score off the dribble that haven't. I mean, CU really hasn't been able to recruit some of those guys before, at least in this quantity. It'll be interesting to see how that translates. I don't think Neek Clifford is going to play a huge amount of minutes, but yeah, I know that you love how smooth he is. He is a smooth operator.
Do you have any? Who's your Pac-12 champs, by the way?
UCLA. I love that team. I hate that Chris Smith is coming back, and I love Tiger Campbell.
I like Tiger Campbell too. Who's your Pac-12 player of the year?
I mean, Chris Smith, I think, has a really good shot at it, especially if UCLA is the best team. Jeez. Past that, you're looking at some guys that are carrying some pretty solid teams. Remy Martin, obviously, is going to be a number one contender, if you want to call it that. Will Richardson. I don't believe the hype that much there.
But well, he's inconsistent, so I don't think that puts a cap on him. He's not Peyton Pritchard.
I guess if Stanford shows out, whoever their guy is, Oscar De Silva, maybe Dejon Davis, maybe. I'm still not that bought in on that program, but that's pretty much the rest of the conference I'm not bought in on. UCLA I am, but the rest of them I'm not. huge fans. Maybe a Mobley. I don't know. My pick is definitely Chris Smith.
I'm gonna go Chris Smith. I'm also keeping an eye on McKinley Wright. If they get the 2 or 3 in the conference, it would be huge with him.
Well, let's look at a dream season for him, right? If Keyshawn takes some pressure off him to be on the ball all the time and he looks for more opportunities to score, if he can shoot better and bump that three-point percentage to somewhere in the high 30%, we're looking at what, maybe 15, 16 points a game from him? Probably, yeah. 5 or 6 rebounds like he's done his whole career. And if he can keep that 5-assist average, that's a really good stat line. That's a really good stat line.
Yeah, and if he keeps playing really good defense.
Right. I mean, he's going to be on the defensive team again.
Yeah. What, his third time?
Yeah.
Is he going to be 4-time All-Pac-12?
Man, he's so good. I hope so. God, he's good. We better appreciate him as last year. We already have, obviously, but we better, like, super appreciate him as last year.
We have been McKinley Wright fanboys since his first game.
I think everyone that's watched him play since the first game was like, oh, yeah, this is the dude.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's a good guy. He's a great program player.
And he's going to keep coming back. Hopefully he makes it in the NBA and sticks around because he's a great
investor. He has to. If Tim Frazier can stick in the NBA for 7 seasons.
If Chris Copeland can make it in the NBA, so can McKinley Wright.
Hey, man, that's Chris Copeland, you caught on right as stretch fours were getting popular, and I applaud you.
Good. I don't say that's a bad thing. Chris Copeland has a lot of tools. I think McKinley Wright has a lot of great skills.
Completely different positions, apples to oranges, but I think McKinley Wright is going to be in
the
NBA.
Buffs, damn it!
Did you project NCAA tournament for them?
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to be as high of a seed. I think last year's CU team could have been a 5 or 6 seed. I don't think they're going to be that this year.
No, I'm going 8 seed.
Ugh, fine. That's going to suck. I hope we don't play Pittsburgh again.
Yeah, I hope so too. Okay. Is this our season preview? I feel like we weren't even that all-inclusive of content.
Well, it's hard. I mean, basketball is even harder than football at this point because we literally do not know anything about some of the other teams. We can look at the roster. We can kind of project, but there's been absolutely nothing coming out of their practices. And frankly, it's also hard right now to look at how many games are even going to be played. CSU has to shut down operations for 2 weeks, which means they open up about 3 days before the game that's scheduled against CU. That's going to happen to other teams. Like, their games are going to be canceled. So it's really hard to prognosticate that much in the future. I think, frankly, this preview is good for us and the fans to look like, oh, yeah, there's basketball this week.
Okay, yeah. I was also going to say, like, a lot of these guys are freshmen, and football doesn't have as many freshmen contributors, so we just don't know.
Well, I mean, shit, look at our football preview. I was saying, going to be low scoring. Sam Neuer, not that great. I was wrong.
Oh, we were very wrong about Sam Neuer. And apparently all the Sam Neuer truthers were right that whole time. Bench Steven Montez starts.
Yeah, all 5 of them that exist. If you're one of the 5 Sam Neuer truthers, yell at me. I don't care. I want to see who you are.
Are we done?
I'm done. Are you done?
I'm done.
All right, watch basketball. The Wednesday, ESPN Plus. That's when CU plays South Dakota. See ya.
Buzz. 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 Buzz.